in Jerusalem
and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Going back to the beginning, it says they went to a village called Emmaus. That is about 7 miles, 70, okay, is 60, and then you have to add some other footage, and it's about 7 miles. 7 mile walk they were on, sad, down, dejected because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They did not know Jesus when he came and began to walk with him, with them. Now, Mary Magdalene in the garden didn't know him either. And Peter and others that were fishing when he stood on the shore in a resurrection appearance, they didn't know who it was either. Why? Well, there's no natural reason or explanation, but perhaps Mark 16, verse 12, sheds some light on that. Mark chapter 16, and in verse 12, we read, and after he appeared in another form unto two of them, these two walking on Emmaus, as they walked and went into the country. He appeared in another form. We're not completely sure what that other form was. It would have been human form, okay? But they were not able to see him. It says their eyes were holden. God worked some kind of a working wherein, with their normal eyes, they were not able to recognize Jesus. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these? What are you talking about? What's going on that you have with one another and you're sad? What's taking place? And one of them, it says, verse 18, and one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering to him, art thou a stranger? Don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They named him Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus had an art of using questions. Okay. Some people are very adept at using questions. And Jesus was par excellence with that. And so he said, why? What manner of communication? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, verse 18, Cleopas said, art thou only a stranger? Don't you know what's been going on? You know, us earthlings are so earthy. Yeah. Now, that's all right. But it's natural and it's normal that we respond as humans, because that's what we are. Nevertheless, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us that the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, in our own normal, natural life, we're not going to understand the things of God. A person cannot get to salvation, or a Christian cannot get to godly living by mental reasoning alone. I'm going to repeat that. You cannot, with your mind, just think yourself into salvation, into a belief in Jesus Christ. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit, and hence in the Gospel of John, we are told that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, one of his works, is to draw a person to Jesus Christ. And then as he does his work, our mental functions, our reasonings are employed, but they are enabled by the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right.
And hence you can't just think yourself into being a Christian. And as a Christian, you cannot just think yourself into being godly. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. We must go beyond the natural. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 talks about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. Okay? Now, young people know what transformed is. Yeah, over here is a basket of toys. Just a minute. You'll see them. All right? You see? Some of the kids brought this in. Now, one of these, I think, is a transformer.
Both of them are.
Okay, both of them are. All right, see. Now, that looks like a huge robot. And when they're done transforming it, twisting and turning things, it's going to end up looking like a truck or a car. Okay? And I don't know what you look like now, but God wants to make you look different.
That's right.
Oh, you'll see the same image in the mirror.
Right.
We'll see the same handsome and lovely face when you come out. Yeah. Thank you, Chris, for catching that. But he wants to transform you. He wants to make you different. He wants to take you from a natural man to a spiritual man.
Yes.
He wants to take you from thinking in a normal human manner to thinking in a Christ-like, godly manner. Now, you're going to look the same. You're going to sound the same. You're going to talk the same. Only the talk you talk is going to be talk that honors the Lord. Now, how does this happen? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And keep your place in Luke 24. But I'm going to Philippians, Paul's letter to the Christians at the city of Philippi. And in Philippians chapter 3, it tells us how God is going to transform us. And it has to do with what we're celebrating today, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him, that's Jesus, and the power of his resurrection. You see, Paul knew that the power, the enabling to live for God came through the resurrection. If God could raise a man from the dead and keep him risen, others have been raised from the dead, but they died again. But Jesus rose from the dead and never died again. If God can do that, he can certainly take you and change you. And you know more than anybody that you need to be changed. There ought to be some amens on that one. Yeah. I mean, it's true whether you agree with it or not. Okay, but I don't like to irritate people. I have an act to do it, but it's not my goal. Now look, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And then what comes out of that? The fellowship of his sufferings. I don't want to suffer. Well, get ready. You're going to. Okay? You say, well, why would I want the Christian life if I'm going to suffer? You're already suffering. If you're an unsaved person, you're already suffering. You have enough problems and troubles and struggles in your life. Why don't you change them for Jesus' suffering? The Bible talks about we can be yoked to the world, and we'll go through all of the problems that the yoke of the world is, or we can be yoked to Jesus Christ. And yes, there'll be some sufferings there, but then you'll have God's help. You'll have the power of the resurrection to help you to live with them, and the whole ball game is better. Being made conformable unto his death. Now, there is a key question. Back in Luke 24, there is a key question in verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Some things should not surprise us as Christians, as believers, those who follow Jehovah God. One of the names of God in the Bible is El Elyon. It means the Most High God. And not just any God, but the one true and only living God. Just because somebody calls themselves a God, just because some people look at a person and claim he's a God, doesn't make him a God like the God of the Bible. So the key question, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Now look, they answered about Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was his given earthly name. See, a lot of people think Jesus Christ is like Jesus is his first name and Christ is his last name. No. But Jesus Christ means Jesus, the man from Nazareth, okay? The man born in Bethlehem. That Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. Okay, in the Jewish terminology, the Messiah. That's the key question. Jesus asked these two, ought not Christ, or shouldn't he have suffered these things? Isn't this, and then look at verse 27, because we have a key question, and then there's some key insights to it. And beginning, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. It was through the Bible, it was by the scriptures that he began to help them to see and understand. And my friend, it will be by the scriptures that we see and we understand. He expounded. He verbalized the scriptures, the things that Moses... Listen, we're amazed. I mean, we heard recently about people in China that they have whole... No, it was Burma, Brother Bob DeWitt. In Burma, they did not have Bibles, okay? But they would from just little note slips of scripture that would be smuggled into the jail... Those people, Christians in the jail, would take it and memorize it. And bit by bit, they ended up memorizing whole books of the Bible. Listen, that's what Jesus did. Okay, he didn't have to memorize it. He knew it. He inspired it. He wrote it. It's his book. And so he began to take and talk to them from Moses Okay, from beginning at Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, and then all of the prophets. And they had a 7-mile walk. Now, he didn't give them everything in that 7-mile walk, but he gave them what they needed. Listen, you and I aren't going to get everything when we get into the Bible. But God's going to give us what we need. And what we need is the important part. And the key issue, okay, we had a key question: ought not Christ have suffered these things? Not Jesus, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Ought he not to have suffered this? Don't you know what Moses taught and the prophets taught? That's what he's saying to them. And then the key issue is in verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, see, they got to their house where they were going, and he acted as if he was going to go on, okay? He made as though he acted like he was going to go on. Well, fellas, nice chat with you. See you in a bit, you know. And, oh, no, you can't go. It's getting late. You better come in here and stay here. There's no Motel 6 down the road. The Hampton Inn isn't built yet. You better stay here. Stay with us. And so he went in, and he stayed. They constrained him. You're not going to get hold of God with a light little bit of, Lord, I'd like to have something today. Give me a little something, Jesus. You're going to have to constrain him. You're going to have to get real serious with him. You want something from him? Listen, you go to buy a car, and you want a certain deal. You say, salesman, would you please let me have that for $1,000 less? No, you don't handle it that way. And you try to constrain that guy to give you the deal you want. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Now, we're not getting a deal from him, but we want something from him. We're not going to get it with some light, little bitty, polite, Lord, I'd like a little something today. No, you need, get serious, friends. Verse 29, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It was after a determination to be with this man. And they didn't know at this point it was Jesus. But they had a determination to be with this guy who had been telling them all these things out of their Bible. And so the insight happened. The understanding came. Verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them while they were eating, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And that's verse 31. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. He was bodily. Okay? He was bodily. But he had an ability to function as a resurrected body differently. Okay? Like in the upper room, walk through the door.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That's cool, you know. That's certainly different. But that's a resurrection body. Now, listen. The result of Christ in the Bible, it comes through the scriptures. The result of spiritual insight, verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's when their heart burned within them. They said, abide with us. He did it. And then when he gave them the scriptures, that's when their heart burned within us. Have you lost the fire of your faith? Have you lost the zeal of your salvation? Are you missing the excitement of being a Christian? You need to abide with him. That's the only way it comes. And it comes when you're with him in the scriptures. When you're in the Bible, when you say, I don't know where to read, just read it. He'll meet you, okay? And you can talk to some older Christians and get some ideas about how to read, where to read. But you got to read it. And you're not going to get hold of God without it. You can come to church till you're blue in the face. You ain't going to do it. You say, well, that's important. Yeah, it is important. I'm a pastor. Of course it's important. But listen to me, my friend. You have got to get in communication with Jesus Christ. The inner man, verse 32. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? The inner man, the feeling of salvation is the result of interaction with Christ. That's when the zeal is there. That's when the joy is there. That's when the peace is there. That's when the satisfaction is there. When we are with Christ. Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, in chapter 20 and verse 9 said, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I ask us, and by the use of the word us, I'm including myself, when is the last time that we were in the scriptures that our heart did burn within us? And that there was as a fire within us. You hear me use this term, polite prayers. Now I'll use it, polite readings. In other words, we just go through good motions, but without good motive. We do the right thing, but not with the right heart. We'll not know what these two on the road to Emmaus found. Jesus took time to walk with these disciples. Jesus was patient with them. Jesus taught them, gave them understanding and insight. Jesus revealed himself, not a religious system, not an organization, not a practicing, but himself. That's where it's at, my friend. The activities of the church are needed, but it is Christ that matters. After all that you do is done, is there a burning in your heart with Christ? As I wrote these notes, the thought came to me of Mary and Martha. You're familiar with the story? Jesus was in their house. And Jesus was sitting there and he was talking. And Mary was there sitting at his feet, listening and learning. Martha was busy getting the soup and the sandwiches ready, setting the table. And Martha got put out. Why? And she went to Jesus. Why isn't Mary helping me? Why isn't she doing what I'm doing? And Jesus said, Martha, Mary hath chosen the better thing. Now, the food had to be made, okay? But the problem is Martha put that first. Mary put Jesus first. There are activities in the church that need to be done, but Jesus needs to be first. Ah, that might make a good Bible verse in Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that are needed will be added, but in the right order. Have we had an Emmaus Road walk and talk with Jesus the Christ, the resurrected Savior? Is he in our life, El Elyon, the Most High God? Is he indeed Jehovah, the Redeemer God? Let's talk to him. Father in heaven, Thank you for the love that you've given to us. Thank you for the provisions that you've made for us through salvation. And then beyond that, through the abundant life that you desire to give to us, so that we may not only be prepared for eternity, but that we may be prepared for the present time, to live in a way that is not only pleasing to you, but thereby becomes satisfying to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.